Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 271 for October 26, 2016. Ham's on Halloween. Good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. Bob's not with us tonight, but we've got most of the regular crew here. I'm George, W5JDX, and out to my west, we've got Gordon West. Hi, Gordo.
Meow, 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 and good evening to all, and hi to our WTWW audience on 5085 kilohertz as well. Back to you, George.
All right, Gordo, we'll be back with you in just a moment to see what's been going on, but we've also got the world's largest whoopee cushion here tonight. It's Don Wilbanks.
Yeah, isn't it nice? It's just a little something I threw on, you know, a little something I had hanging out. How y'all doing? We don't have Tamitha Scove with us tonight, but she has given me some visual aids, so to speak. So we will have some semblance of a solar update. She was off in Washington, D.C. talking to the NASA crowd. Just got back last night. So there you have that. George, back to you.
Okay, Don, we'll be back with you in a few minutes to check on the news. And then we have a mystery guest with us tonight. We're not sure what happened to Dale, but this showed up.
Hey, it's Halloween. We're just clowning around, George, having a good time. Got some good videos tonight, too. And, you know, you were saying hi to people out there. Gordo was saying hi to the people on the shortwave broadcast station. I saw an email earlier today from Bob where he mentioned the BK7AX and his video stream is operational there in Tasmania. So we should say hi to them, too, I think. So, George, we're ready for videos. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Okay, Dale. We'll be back with you shortly. By the way, as we mentioned, WTWW 5085 kilohertz, you can listen to the 100-kilowatt signal coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, Ham Nation live every Wednesday night. And I'm going to be on the QSO show next week, Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. I'll be joining Ted Randall. And it's no telling what we're going to talk about, but we're going to get together and make some racket on the short wave there. So join us Monday night at 8 p.m. on WTWW. Well, now let's go to Catman and see what's going on.
All right. Thanks, George. And speaking of WTWW and shortwave, the shortwave gurus at Universal Radio, and that is Fred and Barbara and their whole team, plus their cats, they have the latest catalog, 128 pages. And for those that would like to see a catalog really devoted to shortwave listening and scanning, just go to www.universal-radio.com, and you can order the catalog for free. So congratulations. Last week at Universal, ICOM America was there. And in 2 weeks, Yaesu will be there. So if you're in the area, stop by and see all the activity at Universal Radio. We're just delighted with their 74th edition of the catalog. This weekend, Hazard Kentucky Ham Fest on October 29th, Saturday. And on Sunday, my friends at Limark having their Ham Fest in Hicksville, New York. And then a couple weeks away, November 5 and 6, our own Eric, KL7AJ, that helps with all of our books at Master Publishing. He and Pete Trotter will be at Stone Mountain, Georgia, having a great time. And I'll be there as well via Skype. Well, this past weekend was an air show weekend. And, you know, when you get ready to do a three-day deal, you want to make sure, really hard to see out of my little outfit here, you want to make sure that you've got everything together. And that is, of course, battery packs for your handheld. And I like the dry cells because you know that they're fresh because you just got them. Your earphones, because at an air show, you know it's going to be noisy. And this was my favorite. These come from Heil, and they have one for Kenwood, one for Yaesu, one for ICOM. And the microphone assembly is noise canceling. And I always mark all of my stuff with a little yellow tag so no one else goes away with it. But good planning is bring the right kind of gear for the event you're going to be working. Now, we also brought along the Heil Pro 7 set. These are wonderful for clamping out all the noise of the jets and the aircraft. In fact, some of the noise. you can imagine some of the noise. The good side is when you have these tied into a HF, VHF, UHF radio that lets you listen to your own audio coming back. However, if you plug them into a transceiver that is just a normal ham mobile type transceiver, you're not going to be able to hear your voice. And it's really difficult to carry on net control without hearing your voice coming back out of one of the earphones. So we're going to work on that. And I think I've got a cure for that. And I'll give you more info here on the show. So, Brian, if we may, let's go ahead and roll the short shots, and we'll give you a little bit about how ham radio helped out at the Huntington Beach Air Show, a three-day deal. And it was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we were greeted with great skies on both Friday and Saturday. We outfitted the communications van. And although we wouldn't be working out of the van, you never know where you're going to be placed for your assignment. That's it. Yep, this was going to be a first aid tent as well as a reception area for lost kids and so on. And when we got there bright and early in the morning, we're saying to ourselves, wow, how is communications going to help out here? Well, we found out very shortly that it was going to help out a lot. So they'd set up the first aid side, and I put the radio communication just right on the edge so the first aiders could hear what was going on. And what a great opportunity for ham operators to work with community emergency response team operators. And these were all skilled advanced first aid personnel, and we were right next door to them so they could hear the radio traffic. The air show drew thousands down to the beach in Huntington Beach. Huntington Beach Races was in charge of all of the communications, and what a great job they did on three different nets that they were running. And as you can see, to hear all the nets at once, I had the main radio in front of me, and then I had the handhelds, and that's where the headsets really played an important part of hearing all the action that was going on. And as you can see, we're battery operated, and down at the beach, you don't plug in. We're actually on the sand, and as you can see, the air show is going to take part on the water, and you can see the fireboat in the background getting things lubed up for a great day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, each day at the Huntington Beach, California Air Show. Now, we have the solar panel that's working into my battery box. I inadvertently plugged in the solar panel before I plugged in the charger, and everything went dead. And that's because inside of the BioEno battery packs. And that's Kevin, who's a licensed ham. Kevin, who is in charge of BioEno Power, is showing off the lithium iron phosphate batteries. And you see the little doodad in the center of the battery cells? That is the PCM. And that PCM is a protective module that ensures that if you stuff in a solar panel and you're at 18 or 20 volts coming out of the solar panel, it's not going to kill the batteries, but rather protects them. And a simple reset and you're back on the air. And I put the charger conditioner in between and we were good to go. And BioEno Power really does a great job. Well, it was a fun day to see all of the parachute folks coming in and an aircraft illuminating them. This was a very special aircraft. It was propeller division driven, but part of the propeller driven engine was an accessory engine, a jet. And just as you thought he was going to do a whatever, the jet would catapult him, and what a noise it would make. In fact, it was so loud that it was hard for us as communicators to hear ourselves talk. Then something scary. We had one of the demonstration aircraft over the water go into a spin, and there was no noise. The motor was not there. And I'm telling you, a whole bunch of us thought, uh-oh, we got a problem. At the last minute, that aircraft, whoa, Lucas on the wings, pulled up and scared the bejesus out of everybody on the beach. The lifeguards were all set to jump in the water, but it was on purpose, part of the air show, and it was a sight to be seen, to see the skill of these pilots that were going on. And we had hams helping with the announcement. Rob Ryder, W8 Golf Fox Fox, even said, congratulations to the volunteer ham operators keeping everything rolling on this show. Dan Rozek, W2CQX, was also there in the Air Boss room. And Patrick Williams, KF6PFW, was our ham radio contact. And we all reported to Huntington Beach Races. Of course, the Coast Guard did their demos, pushing someone out of, well, not pushing them out, but letting them free fall into the water. We had a low pass of FedEx as a demonstration of a huge aircraft just several hundred feet above the water. The course was well patrolled. And then followed that, we had military propeller-driven aircraft. And I tell you, they weren't as noisy as the jets. But communications, nonetheless, were going on between the air boss and all, and ham radio played a very important part in making sure that spectators were in their area and that no vessels strayed into the area where the acrobatics took place. And take a look at this. The Thunderbirds had just a huge display of both air power, and everybody at the beach was just at awe. They're close-in formations. You could hear them on some of the scanner radios up around 200 saying left, right, up, down. And it was amazing. And this is just one of the many jets of the air show that the ham operators were keeping good track of. And as you can see, it was a great day at the beach until Sunday afternoon. And with little warning, rain came. So the good radio communicators always got their rain gear on. And we had the guest operator, David W6ZL, and he's from the South Seas. He came up, and we were all chilling out in the rain. And as you can see, if you're going to be operating in the rain, come well-dressed for any occasion. So, Brian, that's my story. And for all of you, if you have an opportunity to work an air show, there's always great things that come out of it beside the safety that we're able to provide to the public and working with either a Races or an Aries organization. This one was Huntington Beach Races that did a spectacular job with probably 50 or 60 ham radio operators on three channels, all staying in touch and watching out for the public. So a great day, the BioEno Power. We had one unit that we thought was plugged into the solar panel. It wasn't, and it went for 3 days running a radio and a receiver with a little bit of low power transmit, but a lot of listening at moderate volume. So let me tell you, BioNO Power, this is the place for lithium iron phosphate batteries. And Kevin and his crew did a great job making sure that we had the right batteries for the 3 day job ahead. So that's my story. And we use a lot of our ICOM gear. And again, I always have that little yellow band, which says that this is my radio, not yours. So don't pick up the wrong radio. But let's take a look and see what's happening with ICOM America.
Attention all hams.
Time to hit the airwaves. Contest season is here. Grab your ICOM equipment and make as many contacts as you can this season. Good luck and let the competition begin. The real fun starts here with the revolutionary IC7300. This innovative HF transceiver has a compact design and high performance. It's perfect for contesters on the go. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Push performance to the pinnacle with the IC7600. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 features intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, and high-resolution real-time spectrum scope. Contesters, raise the bar with the IC7851. Hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, real-time spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. Hit the airwaves this contest season and visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all of ICOM's great radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for October, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID5100A dual band, dual watch VHF UHF transceiver. Covers both analog and D-Star. Touchscreen operation, built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list functions, optional Bluetooth unit and Bluetooth headset, Android app, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time for Don Wilbanks. Whoopee.
I got to wear my sunglasses because I'm just too cool. Speaking of cool, let's check out the news from Amateur Radio Newsline.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2034, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 26th, 2016. Amateur Radio has stepped in to assist communications in the Junkins wildfire in southern Colorado.
The fire is in mostly rural country. I think there's about 200 places evacuated.
That's Area Section Emergency Coordinator Robert Wareham, N0ESQ, who is currently supporting the Junkins fire at the Colorado State EOC.
We had an interesting request from the Fremont County Sheriff because it's hunting season, and they actually asked us to put out evacuation bulletins so that hunters with amateur radio in the backcountry would be aware that there was a fire danger.
Wareham explains how they assist at the state EOC.
They activate Colorado Aries, and then our personnel come into the state EOC, and we become their communications function here. We also monitor the state 800 megahertz trunk network, all of the mutual aid channels, everything like that. So it's a sort of a broader role than traditional amateur radio.
And he points out they have access to a statewide interconnected ham repeater network, as well as a new DMR network.
The Rocky Mountain Ham Radio Club has, over the last 5 years or so, developed a very robust DMR digital radio network. So right here from the state EOC, I can communicate directly into the southern part of the state over the digital network.
Ham standing by to lend assistance where needed in the latest Colorado wildfire. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Now here's one after-school activity that doesn't involve homework. This sounds more like hamwork.
November 6th, Hotel Charlie Station. You're coming as a 5 and 9 from Bloomington, Indiana with the Bloomington High School South Club. My name is Maria.
Okay, very good, Maria. My name is Arnie, America Radio, November, Italy, Echo. Arnie?
This is just one of many contacts that were made during school club roundup. Schools across the globe have been making contacts with other schools, clubs, and just whoever they find on the air. From elementary schools to big-name universities, schools are taking to the airwaves to learn more about ham radio. Club President Maria Lisandru, KD9BUS.
I love being able to talk to people all around the world and meeting people, and I love being able to just have a bunch of pile-ups, especially because I'm a girl. I get a lot of people trying to talk to me.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is club sponsor Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, reporting from the K9SOU Shack in Bloomington, Indiana.
As the popular U.S. National Parks on the Air event draws to a close in December, things are just getting fired up down under.
They don't call it portable operations for nothing. As hams in Australia prepare for the 6th annual Keith Roger Memorial National Parks Award activity weekend, this being held in Victoria's National Parks, amateurs have chosen their times and locations for operating, and many of them plan to be on the move at more than one spot, from Lower Goulburn to Warby Ovens to Port Campbell and points in between. This is all, of course, nothing new in Victoria or in the United States, which will soon be wrapping up its centennial celebration of its own national parks after a year of similar portable operations. In Victoria's case, though, hams have Keith Roger, VK3YQ, to thank for being the award's inspiration. Keith became a silent key in 1981 after an amateur career that kept him forever on the move with his radio equipment. Keith was a respected World War II veteran who served with the Royal Australian Air Force and became an active amateur in his later years. Now it's just a matter of waiting until Friday, the 11th of November, for the activity to begin. It doesn't conclude until Monday, the 14th of November. Across those 4 days, hams will be on the move in the spirit of Keith Roger. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for 4 decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Dr. T has been traveling and just got back in last night, so she didn't have time to prepare a video for us, but we do have some images from her on the solar forecast. So Brian, if you can bring that up, we see that as far as the solar flares, not a whole lot going on, just a 1% chance of the M class. You can see the flux numbers down there in the upper 70s and radiation particle storms in the normal category. And if we go to the next slide, we'll see that minor storm and auroras are possible up in the higher latitudes and the lower latitudes, not quite so much. And towards Halloween, looks like unsettled activity. There you go. And just 5 to 10%, maybe 15% chance of a storm down in the mid latitudes down where we live. So I have no idea what any of that means because I'm not Dr. T. But she did send me a message via Twitter, which I think it's pretty technical, but I think it pretty much explains everything. I'll just hold this up to the camera and you can see what it says. We are in the middle of a solar storm now, so the bands are likely total crap.
And that is the pretty truth.
That's what Dr. T sent me. That pretty much explains everything. And so there you go. It's all crap. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. And apparently, the bands are not Scottish. George, back to you.
Okay, Don. Appropriate suit for giving us that synopsis there. Well,
I try.
Yeah, I know. And you did an excellent job, I must say.
In spite of myself.
I felt like, I wanted some Pepto-Bismol or something. I don't know why.
Well, I can't help you there.
Yeah. Well, we've got just a couple of videos to show you tonight. One comes from my friend Dan Van Evenhoven, N9LVS. And if those calls sound familiar, that's because Dan is the one who does the Ham Nation Wiki. And a big thanks to Dan for that. But he's also the guy that runs Near Legal Limit Mobile. And he's got a little video here to show us his latest installation.
This is the N9LVS Mobile, a 2015 Jeep Cherokee, which I purchased in late 2015. The heart of the system is this dual-wound aircraft alternator. When placed in series, gets us the 48 volts we'll need for the amplifier. For HF, I run a Yaesu 857D, mounted right to the dash, which gives me heads-up capability. The radio itself is mounted underneath the driver's seat. The amplifier for the mobile operation is the ALS-1300, mounted just behind the rear passenger seat. The remote, however, for the ALS-1300 is mounted just left of the radio. Needless to say, with running a 1300-watt amplifier, the antenna has to be a little bit more beefy. So I'm running the Wolfer Recoil Silver Bullet 1000, connected to a 102-inch whip. The mount itself is built from 1-inch Schedule 80 square tubing. One bolt running through the outside support of the fender. The other part is actually mounted to the frame itself through one of the assembly holes. This is what the assembly hole looked like before installing the mount. I removed the rubber grommet, and it gave me more surface area to actually affix the mount to. I also fixed ground strap at a secondary location on the frame, thus binding the entire frame. For VHF and UHF, I run a Kenwood V7A, affixed to the side of the console on the passenger side. The wire for that runs up through the taillight assembly into the antenna, which is a Larson 270 mounted on the luggage rack. And what would a modern amateur radio vehicle be today without APRS? I'm running a GPS puck stuck to the top of the dash as close to the window as I could get it. For the APRS unit, I use a Bionics Microtrack RTG, which is a 10-watt APRS tracker, which I have mounted behind the glove compartment. The antenna itself is actually mounted behind the front fender well on the passenger side. The reason I did this is the fender well itself is all fiberglass, but has a nice piece of steel plate holding it on. And that's a quick overview of the N9LVS Mobile. I hope you find this video interesting. And 73s from N9LVS.
Dan has some pretty interesting stories of some things that have occurred when he's cruising down the highway at 1,300 watts. You can imagine. But, hey, he has no problem with the truck drivers around him. He can easily cover them up, I'm sure. Well, I've got another video here. This one comes from our friend Randy Hall, K7AGE. You know, he was at the Twitch Studios just a couple of weeks ago, and he gave us a little background tour there. So let's take a look at that.
I visited Twitch's new Eastside studio for Ham Nation and had a tour before I went to PacificCon.
So welcome to the Twitch Eastside studio. Just give you a brief tour of the layout of the place. For here, we have a producer's office. There's about five producers sitting there. Brian sits at the far desk on the right. You ever want to trash his desk? A couple office workers, continuity people work there with ads. This is engineers. My desk is over in the back there, and then also editors are here, and some other just floater desks. Let's see. We have our lovely painting of Leo and our copy machine. And this is Lisa's office, CEO. We have the porthole to the studio here. This is some producer's office for the screensavers. That's Jerry and Anthony sit there. This is John and Tony sitting here. There's the studio doors. This is Bruce and Patrick, engineers. It's their office. This is just storage at the moment. Megan and Jason, hosts of TNT, live in these cubicles here. There's some weird people talking. This is Leo's office in studio.
So you pretty much brought the whole thing over from
this
the other?
It's pretty much identical to how it was from the brick house. Yeah.
It's really quiet in here. It must be from all the hats on the wall. Is that the soundproofing?
Sure, yeah. We'll call it that.
We'll call it that, okay.
Yeah, right.
It was designed that way.
Yes, right? We meant to do that.
I just need to figure out what...
We have our lovely kitchen. And then, of course, my favorite room, my home for 2 weeks straight. This is our machine room, server room, whatever you want to call it, okay. How everything works. So generally, over here we have our servers in this rack. This is our production rack, so the Skype machine, so where Bob and the gang come in for Ham Nation, comes in these machines. Our TriCasters are down here. This is our stream rack, so all the equipment involved with the stream itself and the playout of the reruns and whatever goes in here. And then in the back here, the audio rack, so audio equipment goes in here. The video rack, so our main video router is here, and then all the patches coming in from various places in the studio and building. And then some video processors and some more stuff that we haven't actually put in yet because we're still growing in the studio. Every day is a little bit more. This is the LAN WAN rack, so all the network gear is in here, all the switches and other stuff that I can't explain how it works. And then our network patch panel or rack, so all the patches to the various ports in the office and the studio come in here. And then this room is also just general storage and whatnot. Yeah, I got your text message, and I've got some slides. I'll go over everything with you before we start. Photos from you, too? Are we still using those tonight?
This is really behind the scenes.
I didn't even look at that video, so it was a lost weekend. I mean, it was fun. That 8,000.
You got Dale all sorted out.
Dale sorted out, yeah.
Oh, Skype is such a wonderful thing, huh?
I know, right? Yeah, it's...
Here's from the ham corner.
To 104. This
needs to be...
Ham radio is a great hobby. Here,
put back on the air.
Lives in an assisted living.
Here's a view of the studio floor with sets against each wall. You can see the cameras and lights.
Here's Larry Shack.
Thanks to Leo, Brian, and Alex for their time and support of Ham Nation. 73 K7AGE.
Well, thanks for that tour, Randy. You know, I'll have to give it to him for his camera skills there. Alex was moving on, man. He got through that tour really fast. But great-looking facility there. It's a little different than I would have expected, a little larger in some respects. So maybe I can get out there one day and get a tour of it myself. Well, I got one thing I want to talk about here, and... That's the 2016 frequency measurement test with the ARRL coming up on November the 3rd. That's a Thursday next week. It begins at 0 UTC. That'll be 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on November 2nd. Transmissions will take place on three bands. It'll be 20 meters, 40 meters, and 80 meters. The 20-meter transmission will have two parts, the first beaming east from California and the second beaming toward Japan. Participants are to submit only one 20-meter measurement, but are encouraged to measure both and compare the measurements, the frequency, and the signal characteristics in their comments. You can learn more about that at, I don't know if... we have the slide there or not, but it's ARRL.org. No, that's not the one. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. It's ARRL.org/frequency-measuring-test. There you are. It's I've done this in years past. I may try to do it next week if I can find the time for it. It's a lot of fun, and it kind of helps you hone your skills just a little bit. Now to that other photo there. You know, there's always new technologies coming along, and Bob is going to need to step up his game on the headphones here. No, this is not the new version of the Pro Set. As a matter of fact, we're not even sure what this is, but Randy sent us this picture, and Yeah, I don't really know what to say about it. You know, it looks like he's got on a stethoscope and a pair of big ears with lightning bolts coming out. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. Anyway, let's get Don back in here, though, see if he can bail us out and tell us about some good things going on at DX Engineering. Before we do that, though, you know, I have on the new DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt here tonight. It's also got a giant DX Engineering logo just like this one on the rear. I'm going to give that away, but let's tell you about what we're going to give away from last week. You know, I asked a question, which of these precautions should be taken when installing devices for lightning protection in a coaxial cable feed line? There were a number of answers there, but Paul Braun, WD9GCO, who I think is maybe one of the announcers on Amateur Radio Newsline there. Don can...
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Well, he won, Don, and he said the answer was D, ground all the protectors to a common plate, which in turn is connected to an external ground. So, Paul, we're going to send, despite knowing Don Wilbanks, we're going to send you this MFJ 270 Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor. It's good from DC to 1 gigahertz, 400 watts PEP. And this one has PL259s on it, although it does come in versions with a Type-N connector, and will go to a higher frequency as well. So congratulations, Paul. MFJ will be getting that out to you. But I've got another prize for next week. And, yes, that is this nice new silkscreen DX Engineering T-shirt I'm wearing here tonight. You know, I do another show called Ham College at the end of every month, and we're going to have an episode tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You can watch it at live.amateurlogic.tv. And we're going over the technician exam right now, and here's a question that's going to be on there. What type of circuit controls the amount of voltage from a power supply? It's A, a regulator, B, an oscillator, C, a filter, or D, a phase inverter? Well, if you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win one of these new DX Engineering T-shirts. Okay, Don, I know they've got more than T-shirts. Tell us about it.
I'm looking through this catalog. Did you say that T-shirt has DX Engineering emblazoned on your rear? Because I don't see anything at all about long-tail T-shirts in here, and I've looked through the whole thing. There's no skirts. There's no kilts. There's no long tail T-shirts. I don't understand. Unless there's nothing even about a tattoo. So no, I don't know how you could have DX Engineering on your rear unless that's something you did on your own.
On the rear. The rear of the shirt, not my rear.
Well, pardon my protrusion. Everybody knows that I love wire antennas. You know why I love wire antennas? Because, well, they don't have to be put up right. They just have to be put up. They're versatile. They don't cost a lot. You can build them yourself. And you get a quality wire antenna, and the performance is amazing. The problem is they can be kind of fragile, a little bit susceptible to wind, ice, whatever else that Mother Nature has in her playbook. If she wants to take it down, she'll take it down. But they'll survive where a lot of bigger antennas won't, as long as you do it right. And you can ensure that your wire antenna will handle the stress of another winter with maintenance parts and tools from DX Engineering. Support rope, very important. You got to hold it up, right? If it's frayed or decayed, you should upgrade to Mastrant. This is the best antenna support and guy rope in the business. Mastrant ropes are perfect for wires. They support Yagi booms and elements, as well as verticals and antenna masts. You can guy pretty much everything with this stuff. Tim Duffy, K3LR, uses the Mastrant stuff on his mega station, so you know it's good. It's a non-conductive rope. It's made from synthetic fibers that won't stress, they won't collect moisture, they won't suffer from UD degradation, and they won't conduct, which means they're not going to affect your pattern. The rope is stronger than other synthetic ropes of the same size. You can find the right strength, the right size, the right length for your setup right there at DX Engineering. Heatherbrook.com. And you're going to need insulators and glass insulators. They're not just classy looking. They work great. And they've been around for hundreds of years. I mean, look at the old telegraph cables. Those were all glass insulators. People have relied on glass insulators since the dawn of radio because they're a proven and effective way to improve the efficiency of your wire antenna regardless of the configuration. And the DX Engineering glass insulators, the new ones, are designed to handle a significant amount of stress without breaking. They are well-suited to most wire antennas and support rope applications. And for optimum performance, you want to complement your antenna with a ComTech or a DX Engineering Balun. These Baluns will give you a superb match between unbalanced coax and balanced antennas. The ComTech Baluns offer a superior SWR across all the HF bands. They're available in 1-to-1 and 4-to-1 matching ratios with single or dual cores, depending on the application. They'll handle legal limit with a large safety factor. So if you're looking to build a new wire antenna, you've got to check out DX Engineering's handy wire antenna kits. The easy-to-build, easy-build UWA center T and N insulator kits contain everything you're going to need to build virtually any wire antenna type: folded dipole, inverted V, off-center fed, Windham, ZEP, loops, whatever you can think of. There are several kits available, so visit dxengineering.com to find the perfect one for your station. And, of course, if you want to roll your own, just go nuts on the dxengineering.com website. You'll find everything you need, whether you're going to do the kits or you're going to just go in there and just do whatever you want to do. That's the beauty of wire antennas. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it is in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, that is what DX Engineering does. They help you shrink the globe. Request your catalog, the new one, the one I have right here in my hand. This is a great catalog. Request this catalog right here at dxengineering.com. You can shop 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. They're an integral part of the Ham Nation family, and we appreciate them like you just would not believe. Somebody else we appreciate is Dale. I don't know who did your makeup, Dale, but it's fabulous. You look lovely tonight, my friend. How are you?
It's something else. I tell you, just clowning around, man. It's Halloween, so we're going to have a good time this weekend.
You're a little hard to hear, but you look lovely. Yeah, a little hard to hear, but you look lovely.
What was that, Don?
I said you're a little hard to hear with that mask on, but you look lovely.
Okay, well we'll try to aim through the opening here and see what happens. Tonight, three videos: a jamboree on the air from down in Texas, a national parks on the air special event in Ohio, and the fourth installment in the great six-part DIY series from Bob Rice, VE3HKY. We'll take a look now at the JOTA operation down at the Texas Transportation Museum in San Antonio. Our videographer is Matt Rotman, and we'll do some voiceover for our audio-only listeners. Matt is K5NON. The event there in Texas was organized by several of the amateur radio clubs in San Antonio, including both the Alamo Area Radio Organization and the San Antonio Radio Organization. The event was organized by Bob Rod. He's K5AUW. The two clubs set up two HF stations. One was operating 20 meters, the other on 40 meters. One interesting fact was the clubs let the scouts work on a locomotive mobile station. At that station, they used 2-meter simplex FM to talk to the train conductor, who was a licensed ham. Matt told us that it's not every day you have some real live local QRM coming from the horn of a passing train. In just a little bit here, you'll be able to hear some of those scouts talk to some of the hams around the nation during JOTA. And we'll listen to that in just a second.
My favorite TV count as gardener.
Gardener takes part, that is fine.
Yes, it's nice there. I like it.
KCSA, stroke 5, in Irving, Texas, at the National Scouting Museum. We are across the street from the DSA National Headquarters. Over.
Chase. My favorite part of scouting is camping.
This is Kennedy. My favorite sports is gymnastics. Over.
Wow, gymnastics. That's a, you're going to be pretty good at that one.
Well, thanks to Matt, K5NON, for assembling that JODA report. Kind of amazing what you can do with a camera and the iMovie program. He put that together with that, I'm pretty sure. Let's go on down or up to Ohio now and take another look at another NPOTA, or National Parks on the Air. The Lake County Amateur Radio Association, operated from the home of James A. Garfield. If you remember, he was the 20th president of the United States. And the report comes to Ham Nation, courtesy of Joe Kuskovitz. He's N8JKO.
National Parks on the Air, a celebration of the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. Celebrating with the national parks is amateur radio. In Northeast Ohio, you can find the home of the 20th President of the United States, the James A. Garfield Historic Site. The home of President Garfield is a unique location that is today surrounded by a busy city. But when Citizen Garfield ran for the presidency, he would conduct his public presentations from the front porch of his humble home. Today, it marks the place and legacy of a man who was cut short by an assassin's bullet just 200 days into his presidency. Honoring President Garfield and the National Park Service through the celebration is LACARA, the Lake County Amateur Radio Association of Ohio. It is here where LACARA celebrates NPOTA under the club call sign of N8BC and the park designation of NS39. Over the year-long celebration, LACARA has connected with amateur radio operators on the 20 and 40-meter bands across the U.S. and Canada, as well as the European countries of Slovenia, Germany, and Croatia. Visitors to the Garfield home stopped by the LACARA site as well, some visiting from places like the United Kingdom and Chile, all under the watchful eye of LACARA's mascot, James. And while the activations cross the country, LACARA never forgets that Lake County is its home. In August, the Lake County Amateur Radio Association presented a small token of their appreciation to Todd Arrington and the staff of the James A. Garfield Center. Happy anniversary, National Park Service, and thank you for protecting our national treasures. For more information on the Lake County Amateur Radio Association of Ohio, check out their Facebook page with their club call sign, N8BC, and the LACARA Ohio website.
And thank you, Joe, for that outstanding report there from Ohio. Well, we're going to wrap up tonight's video segment with part four of an outstanding DIY series put together for us for Bob Rice, VE3HKY. Tonight, he's going to show us how to build hermetically sealed high-voltage capacitors. With that trick, here's Bob.
This is a piece of printed circuit board material. It's a double-sided copper, and it's 1/32 of an inch thick. It measures width-wise 3/4 of an inch by 2.5 inches. And what I'm going to do is make this into my high-voltage capacitor. Now, before I do, I make sure that I sand all of the edges, all the way around, must be sanded to ensure that there's no little pieces of copper over the edges that are going to cause a problem later on. So I use emery cloth, just a very a light gauge emery cloth, and sand all the edges before I do any soldering. So now I'll just squirt a little bit of liquid flux at my point where I'm going to be soldering, and I've put a Kelly clamp that holds the wire down very, very nicely. It prevents you from getting warm fingers. and then you can just go ahead and solder, and it will keep your wire nice and tight to the printed circuit board material. There you are, no problem. We're outside and a long ways away from vehicles and the house and what have you. And on my barbecue, I have just a bit of a spoon that I bought at the dollar store. And I'm going to be using that to heat hot glue. There's hot glue in there. And we'll heat that up. And then when it's all melted, we're going to dip our capacitor into it. And that will hermetically seal it. Now there's the capacitor there, and we'll put it in there once the hot glue is hot enough. I think the hot glue is hot enough now that we could put the capacitor in it. And if for any reason we leave it in too long and it becomes unsoldered, that's not a problem. So we'll just quickly dip it in and take it out. And that's basically it. We'll let that run off. If afterwards we have to trim it in any way, it's no problem using the heat gun just to flow over the edges again.
Okay, that's amazing. Once again, a lot of creativity in the DIY front there from Bob of the E3HKY. Next week, 2 weeks from now, he'll be showing us how to use an antenna analyzer as a dip meter. We hope you're enjoying his series as much as we are, and they're all great videos for anyone that wants to build their own. We'll be back on November 9th with part 5 of the DIY series, and just maybe a video from you. The video queue empty right now again. Well, I got one in tonight, so please do send your videos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And that's it for the video segment. Amanda's up next with questions from the chat room. Everyone wondering what her costume is tonight. Let's find out and switch to Canyon City, Colorado studio. And see what's happening. Good evening, Amanda.
Oh, bye.
Hello. Hi. How are you? Anyhow, I got all a little scared after I saw Dale's costume, by the way, you guys. I did hear that there are some ABPs after you. There might be some complaints. We'll see about that. Anyhow, all right. The first thing I had, are you really chuckling that much, Don?
Yeah.
I had one more thing. Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Excellent. Weedy, 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 weedy. Sorry. I was doing that earlier. Jeff and I were doing that in the background earlier when you guys came on. Anyhow, okay. I didn't get a lot of questions here tonight. I had one question for Gordo when he left the show. So anyhow, I do have a couple of announcements. I'll get to those first. NE4RD wants us to know that the deadline for post-JOTA reports is November 1st. Registered BSA stations will be eligible for a drawing for the ICOM ID51 and the ICOM crew t-shirts from ICOM America. Be sure to visit k2bsa.net to report. Thank you very much. The next thing is I wanted to show this cool picture. Our friend Matt W1ATE is listening to 5085 on a homebrew shortwave tube regen. And you shortwave listeners out there would appreciate that. So I'm going to show the picture also to the audience here.
That's cool. It's
kind of unfocused.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But that is his homebrew that he's listening to us on right now. And he's really, I think it is awesome. Actually, he's a Yankee. So he's saying it's wicked awesome. So, also, another announcement, we had an SK this week. Carl Searing, W9NW, who was a member of the, and I can't, if Val was here, she would know what this town is, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Okay, so sorry to hear about that. And other than that, I didn't have any questions, you guys. So let's just have some chatter. Don, I'll send it over to you. Any other comments?
No, it's hard to hear because it's very windy over here. Just very, very, very. There's a warm southern breeze, and it's drowning everyone out. That's why I couldn't hear Dale. It wasn't the mask. You know what? We're getting ready for Halloween, of course, and people are probably wondering why we don't really have to have a reason to be stupid, but we actually have one tonight, which is awesome. Which is awesome, and you look awesome.
Amanda. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just saw the pic on Facebook and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this. This is gonna be fun.
I should have had a tear, but okay, I didn't have one. So wait, I looks do have great. One.
What do you
Let
have?
Me break it out for you guys.
Well, here we go.
I can't get things straight. Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to follow it backwards. So it was that or the devil horns, and I thought I'd leave those behind tonight. So
oh, no, that would have been perfect. That would have made it. That would have made it.
Well, thank you. Oh, and I love the comment. Val made the comment. Remember those cone things that guy had on his head? George, where did you get that photo from?
Randy sent that to me. I don't know where he got it from.
Oh, nice. I love the mustache there. Anyhow, they said that looked a lot like our dog Radio. Maybe we could do the comparison, Jeff. He has to go grab him, but we'll come back to that in a second. And Dale, you have grandchildren, right?
That is correct. Two granddaughters.
Do they still talk to you after wearing that mask?
they probably aren't watching tonight, but I actually posted a picture of it on Facebook, so I'll probably get some comments from them.
Do your kids let you hear? Okay, let's do the picture comparison to Radio to the cone ears here.
Oh, look at those ears on that guy.
Yeah.
My God. Should have named him Radar. Harp. Look at there the ears on him. Oh, he's fresh. Oh, yeah. Separated at birth.
I think they were.
That's
funny. I think so. And his mom is named Sonar, so you can tell that's where they got it from. That's well, great. You guys, let's go over some nets. Unfortunately, Steve, W7UDI, he's working these next 2 weeks, so there is no 20-meter net, and it might be retired for the winter after that as well. So if you guys want to do kind of a rag chew on 20 meters somewhere, you guys figure it out and do it on chat here and get together. Other than that, we have the 40-meter net, and that's going to be on 7180. And Kevin, KC7FPF, is hosting that tonight. Thank you so much, Kevin. You do a great job. And D-Star, we have 14 Charlie. And don't forget Echo Link. Do drop in.
Yep, 355-800 is the node number on that.
Thank you.
This has been a fun show tonight.
Yes, it has.
A lot of great information, too. Uh-oh, what do you got in there? What do you got in there? What do you got in that cup?
That's none of your business. It's my witch's brew.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
Your witch's brew. Okay. You know what that does to those whoopee cushions, though?
Ugh. Yeah, it inflates them.
I heard about those gale winds down there.
Hey, you got to look. You got to see this. I showed this on the pre-show, but look. Let me show you what happened here. Watch this. This is great.
Oh, my. So it's been a used
right out. I blew it right
it's
out.
It's a used whoopee cushion. Used.
It's got a hole in my whoopee cushion. I hate it when that happens. I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. Tragedy. Isn't that great? Never know what you see here on the Ham Nation. George, I think you should probably rescue me from myself.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, Don, but we'll try.
Swing. Can you, George, just do it. Swing, swing, swing.
Swing, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, did you hear that the Mirthmobile went up for auction? The, the Pacer, or whatever it was, a Gremlin. It was a Gremlin. The green Gremlin with the flames on it went up for auction. Yeah, I think it got, I want to say $16,000 or something like that, which is probably more than those things cost when they were new.
Oh,
yeah, it went up for auction. Yeah, one of the movie... one of the movie prop cars went up for auction not too long ago. The Mirthmobile, complete with the what was it? It was a gumball dispenser or some kind of a
That was Twizzlers. That was the Twizzler dispenser where you could cut it off. That was the coolest thing ever.
There it is. There's the car right there that actually went up for auction with the dispenser up on the roof. There's a picture of it in there.
That's worth probably like $14,000 by itself.
Yeah.
So
well, exactly. That's added value.
I love that movie, you guys. That was my generation growing up with that, and watching them on Saturday Night Live, and then having the movie come out was just amazing.
So. Oh yeah, classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Well, thanks for being here, everyone. Great show tonight. But Bob, I think he'll be back next week. We'll have to.
If he's not too embarrassed at our show tonight, he may not want to associate with the likes of us.
It's a good possibility. Anyway, thanks for being here. We'll see you back next Wednesday night at the same time.
If we don't get the hook.
True. Very true. And if we all survive Halloween.
Yes.
I may answer the door like this. I did it 1 year. Well,
I'm going to a wedding Monday night, Halloween night in the French Quarter in New Orleans. And we're actually going by the mortuary, which is like one of the best haunted houses in the country. So, yeah, if I'm here Wednesday, it'll be a miracle.
He's going to be in an alley of the French Quarter somewhere. Someone's going to find him next Mardi Gras. Maybe by then he will be finally sober and back to his normal self. And I'm kidding.
With an empty beer bottle in his hand.
Two.
All right. 7-3, y'all. See you next week.
Good night, everybody. 7-3.
Good night.